We're holding Nun Ches Amud Aleph, beginning the sixth perek. So this perek and the next are going to round out more dinim of bringing korbanos. After that, the rest of the Masechta is going to talk about various other things, various other side points related to the korbanos, things involving, let's say, a korban gets mixed up with another, with other ones, cases something was put on the mizbeach, when do we take it down, and so on and so forth. But basically, this last parak that we learned, Ezer Makoyman, went through the actual procedures of shechting and offer and then sprinkling the blood of the korbanos, and then this parak continues on that topic with dinim about where they're to be done and more, and then we have to keep in mind also the previous parak discussed all the animal korbanos. We also have menachos and bird korbanos, so those are also going to be dealt with in this parak. So the Mishnah starts off, kodshe kodshim sheshachten b'reish ha-mizbeach. You shechted kodshe kodshim on top of the mizbeach. Now, we learned over and over in the previous parak that kodshe kodshim, the oila, the various kinds of chatos, the osham, etc., those have to be shechted in the north half of the azor. So now what happens if you shecht it on top of the mizbeach? Tosfos, by the way, points out that the reason, now when the Mishnah says sheshachton, suggests that he did it b'dieved. Okay, well, we're going to have a machlokas over here, what part of the mizbeach is kosher for it. But it still sounds like it's a b'dieved dicker thing. So Tosfos says, midaraisa, it would actually be kosher to shecht on it. But midirabbanan, maybe we don't want, because you could bring a live animal up onto the mizbeach, it may defecate there before you shecht it, and that would be a bizoyin to the mizbeach. A couple of achronim, one of them being the Divrei Nechemia, the famous chassid of the Tzemach Tzedek, points out that on the face of it, we should have a different point. Anyway, later on in Masechta, we're going to deal with the whole matter of Im Olu Yerudu and Im Olu Lo Yerudu. We're going to deal with which things, if they're brought up onto the Mizbeach, even though they weren't supposed to be there, parts of Korbanos and Apostle, for example, we sometimes say B'dieved, we leave them there. And sometimes we say that we bring them down. It depends what the nature of the psul is. We're going to have a whole discussion about it later in the Masechta, in the ninth parak. Anyway, one thing that says over there is that if you have an animal, an oila, for example, that was brought up alive to the mizbeach, you take it down from there and you shecht it on the floor because you can't say, it's one thing, for example, if you shechted it and let's say for whatever reason it's possible, it's pigle, it's whatever, fine, the pieces of it, b'dieved, maybe you can leave on the mizbeach, but a live animal is not going to be offered anyway, as is, and anyway has to be shechted first, so therefore take it down. So that being the case, why is Tosfos talking about d'oraisa, d'rabbanan, and shevet yarbitz glolin, that it might defecate to say, if you brought it up to the mizbeach, bring it down because it's one of those examples even all the year. So he says that maybe it's the chatchila versus the diyeved. Maybe we're saying that not really the chatchila versus the diyeved. We're saying that you should take it down, but let's say you didn't. Then what happens? So what happens? You shechted them on top of the mizbeach. Rabbi Yosi and Akilah nishchatu b'tzofen. Rabbi Yosi says they can be considered, no matter where it is on the mizbeach, as though they were shechted in the north. Therefore, they're going to be kosher. Rabbi Yosi says no. Mechatsia mizbeach v'ladorim kadorim. Only if it's in the southern half of the mizbeach, then it's considered like it was. Then it's considered like it was done in the south, and kodshim can't be shechted in the south. Mechatsia mizbeach v'ladsofen katsofen. If it's on the northern half of the mizbeach, then it's considered like it was in the north, and therefore it's fine. So there's discussion among some achronim. What about the kevesh? So now the Gemara is going to focus on that. The real underlying machloikas is mainly where is the mizbeach positioned in the azara. So let's give an overview of that. This really is one of those things, Avraham Moshe, where a picture is worth a thousand words. But you're online, you're on the phone, you won't be able to see. So I'll try to explain as best I can. The width of the azara is 135 amos.
Maybe you could take a picture and send it to me on WhatsApp.
Maybe. I don't know if I can do that right now, but yeah, I can certainly, I can.
You should be able to.
I can give that a shot, I guess. Fine. All right. Let me see real quick while we're talking. So like this. So the mizbeach itself, we learned in the previous perek, is 32 amos by 32 amos. To be exact, we said that the yesod, the base of the yesod is 32. We said that the yesod itself goes around two complete sides of the mizbeach, but then only sticks out on two other sides. But altogether, the footprint of the area that the mizbeach takes up in the azara is 32 amos. Next to it, you have the kevesh, which takes up another 30 amos of floor space. So 62 amos altogether, from north to south. That is, the kevesh was placed south of the mizbeach.
What? The kevesh is longer than the mizbeach?
The kevesh is not longer than the mizbeach. 30 amos, the mizbeach is 32. The Gemara is going to discuss later on in the parak, actually, that the kevesh itself... The kevesh itself actually is, it says it's 32, but it overhung the mizbeach by 2 amos, and therefore takes up only 30 amos of floor space. So 32 for the mizbeach, 30 for the kevesh. Total 62. The Azara itself is 135 wide, which means that so it takes up just under half the width of the Azara.
Wide means from north to south.
Yeah, that's, we're talking from north to south. Okay. From east to, so it's like this. From east to west, there's no machlokas. Everybody agrees that the mizbeach was positioned centered in the open space of the Azara. Namely, you have the Azara is 187 amos long. 100 of it is taken up by the Heichel. You have 11 amos behind the Heichel, between the back wall of the Kodesh HaKadoshim and the western wall of the Azara. So that's 111. That leaves you 76. That 76 was divided. 32 for the mizbeach leaves you 32 for the mizbeach out of 76 leaves you 54. So you had 44. Sorry, and you have 22 for, you have 11 for the Ezri Sisrael, 11 for the Ezri Kohenim on one side of it, and on the other side you have 22 amos between the ulam, between the mizbeach and the ulam, the front of the heichal. So everybody agrees it was like that. By the way, the post can talk about this, is a source for the fact that the bima should be in the middle of the shul. Especially once reform came along and they wanted to start putting it in the front, then a number of poskim discussed that you can't do that, first of all, because it's following Chukas HaGoyim, because they have it like that, they have it in their churches, but in any case, we have a source in this that the mizbeach is in the center of the Azara, and therefore the bima should also be as much as possible in the center of the shul. There are actually, Moshe actually has a truv on it. He says not necessarily, it really depends on the circumstances. He says in larger shuls, if you put it in exactly in the middle, people in the back aren't going to hear, and people are maybe going to start using microphones on Shabbos, and that's a whole other issue. So he says it doesn't have to be in the middle. It can be positioned as long as there's a space between it and the Aron. Anyway, here though in our Gemara we're focusing on the north to south axis. So again, the width of the Azara north to south is 135 amos. The mizbeach plus the kevesh takes up 62 amos of that. So now, and then you have north of the mizbeach, there were a few different things. They have the rings over there in the floor that they shefted, that they put the animal's head or neck into when they shefted it. You have the tables over there. You have the pillars the pillars with hooks on which they hung the animal to skin it. You have the tables on which they put the parts of the korban to wash them. And then you had some empty space. So the Gemara is going to be presenting over here three major opinions how the mizbeach was placed within the Azara. Was it exactly centered in the middle? Was it all the way, the mizbeach itself is all the way in the northern half of the Azara, and only the kevesh is sticking out into the southern half? Or the other way around, is the mizbeach completely in the southern half of the Azara, and the kevesh is obviously even further south? So take, for example, according to that last opinion, if the Azara is 135 wide, that means the midline of it is 67 and a half amos from each wall, from the northern and the southern wall. The mizbeach itself, we're saying the mizbeach plus the kevesh takes 62. So according to that last opinion, for example, you would have, it starts on that midline, it goes from there towards the south, and therefore you end up with 5.5 amos available space between the end of the kevesh and the wall. According to the other opinions, you'd have more space, and therefore you'd have a lot more space, according to that opinion, on the northern side. According to the other opinions, you'd have less on the north and more on the south. So we're going to discuss in the Gemara three opinions about that. The Rambam brings, when he brings it in Hilchos Beis HaBechira, he says a little bit differently. He has the mizbeach mostly in the north, but a few amos of it sticking out towards the south. No sekelim on the Rambam deal, exactly where the Rambam gets that from.
So the kevesh runs south to north?
The kevesh runs from it's south of the mizbeach, and you get onto it, the kevesh where it meets the floor is on the south, and then when you're walking up the kevesh, you're walking towards the north. The mizbeach itself will be north of you, yeah.
Okay.
The Rambam, actually, I should say it the other way around. The Rambam has the Mizbeach mostly in the south, but a few amas of it, seven amas of it or so he has in the north. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Asi, Amar Rav Yechanan, Omer Hoyer Rav Yossi of our Mishnah, who says that if you shech kodshe kodshem on top of the Mizbeach, then it's kosher no matter where it is on the Mizbeach. Rav Yossi would say, Kula Mizbeach Mitzofen Koi. The entire Mizbeach is located in the northern half of the Azara. Well, that's why. If you shech kodshe kodshem on it, you're fine, because the whole thing is in the northern half. Umay ki'ilu, so why does it say in the Mishnah ki'ilu you shechted in the north, which makes it sound that if the whole Mizbeach is in the northern half of the Azara, then you are shechting in the north, we need ki'ilu. Maud tema, because otherwise you might have thought, but in an al-yerech, after all, the Pasuk says, v'shochat oisei al-yerech ha-mizbeach, you shecht an oila on the side of the Mizbeach, tzafoina, so you would think, and here you have the letter, here you don't have that, because you're shechting it on top. So therefore, Kamash Malan, therefore, Rabbi Yossi wants us to know in our Mishnah that no, it is actually kosher. It can be not only by the side of the Mizbeach, it can also be on top of the Mizbeach, and that's still considered, and because the whole Mizbeach is in the Tzofen, then therefore that works.
Tzofenah can mean two things. Either the Tzofenah Beach of the Mizbeach, Beach Mizbeach Tzofenah.
Yeah.
Tzofenah, you can say Tzofenah.
So that's the thing, right? So we would understand Al Yerach HaMizbeach Tzofena means on the northern side of the Mizbeach. So now Rabbi Yossi is telling us that no, it can mean actually that. So it's actually, as Shitim Kubetza says, one possibility is that maybe the Mizbeach itself can be called Yerach HaMizbeach. Yerach literally means the thigh, so it means the side of. But we're saying that according to Rabbi Yossi, that the Mizbeach itself maybe can be considered
Tzofena.
It's well, not only Tzofena, but it can be considered Al Yerach. It can still be considered by the side of the Mizbeach, and therefore it's kosher. Maybe in the sense that you still have, no matter where you are on the Mizbeach, there's more of it that's north of you, whatever. So, Amalei Rav Zeira L'Rav Asi, but Rav Zeira says to Rav Asi, Ela Ma'atza L'Rav Yossi Rav Yehuda. Well then, why is Rav Yossi Rav Yehuda in our Mishnah saying that it depends which half of the Mizbeach you shechted it in? So are you going to say by the same logic that Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda is saying that the Mizbeach is half north and half south, that it's exactly centered in the middle of the Azara, and that's why he says that if you shecht in the northern half versus the southern half, you're going to say, yeah, maybe Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda holds that way. No. Didn't you say in the name of Rabbi Yechanan that Moedi Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda Shem Shochten Kenegdan Bakalka Psula? Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda agrees, even though he says that it's kosher on one half of the Mizbeach, the northern half, he would agree that if it was shechted Kenegdan, opposite it, Bakalka, in the ground, which at this point we're assuming that it means underneath the Mizbeach. The Gemara is going to discuss that later down on the Amud, how that would be possible. But anyway, Psula, then it would be possible. So in other words, Rav Zeira is saying it can't be that the Nekuda of the Machorkas in our Mishnah is where the Mizbeach is located, all in the north or half north and half south. Because how would that explain then? If you shecht under the Mizbeach, why is it, at this point we're assuming it means under the Mizbeach, then why would it be possible? As long as you're under the half that's in the north, you should be good. Rather, Reb Zeiro says that it must be, it's not a matter of where the Mizbeach is located. It must be that Rabbi Yochanan is not deriving from our Mishnah what Rabbi Yochanan, it's true, Rabbi Yochanan is saying that Rabbi Yossi says the whole Mizbeach is in the Tzofen, but that doesn't explain the reason why he says in the Mishnah that if you shechted the Kodshim anywhere on the Mizbeach, it's kosher. It's rather, it's going to be based on a drosha from Psukim that the Gemara is now going to explain. So what is the source? Amalei, so Rav Asi explains to him, Hochi ka'amar Rav Yechanan. You're right, Rav Yechanan explained, Shneyam mikra echad doshu. Really what it is, it's not a machlokes of where the Mizbeach is located, it's a matter of how we darshan a pasuk. The pasuk says, right after Matan Torah, at the end of Parshas Yisro, that you should build a Mizbeach, v'zavachta olavas olas secha v'shlomecha. You should offer on it your olas and your shlomim. So why does that to mention? Oh, listen, shlomim. You have other kinds of korbanos as well, if nothing else. Or just there, Zavach Dolah, we know, there are going to be, in Chumash Vayikra, it's going to describe various types of korbanos. Rav Yossi Sava, Kula La'olah, Kula La'shlomim. So Rav Yossi understands the pasuk to be saying that any part of the Mizbeach is kosher to shecht an olah, and any part is kosher to shecht shlomim. So exactly that. In other words, it's all Rory for Oila. The Pasuk calls it Safin Gzeres HaKosov. Even if you're going to say that Mizbeach is not completely in the north, even if you're going to say that some of it sticks out into the south of the Azara, nevertheless, learning the Pasuk that way, we'll say that Gzeres HaKosov, that it's kosher. And Kulei Rory v'Shlomim, because we learned in the previous Perek, Shritasim b'chol makom ba'azara, they can be shefted anywhere in the Azara. We discussed a couple of blocks ago how exactly we learned that, Kavachomer, or Rabbi Yezah has it from a limud, from a Pasuk, so therefore it's fine. So that's one way of explaining the pasuk. Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda Sava, Chetzi Loyla, Chetzi Loshlamim. Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda says that no, the pasuk means that it's half is kosher for Oyla and half is kosher for Shlamim. All of it would be kosher for Shlamim. In other words, in the sense that you can bring Shlamim anywhere, you can offer Shlamim anywhere in the Azara. But the point is to stress that only part of it is kosher is kosher for Oyla. So the de'is tafidat kula la'ola kosher, because Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda says you have to understand the pasuk that way. If it meant, like Rabbi Yosi wants to learn it, that it means the entire thing is kosher for oila, then you would have to ask, well, hashta kula la'ola kosher, if the whole thing is kosher for oila, kula l'shlomim mibaya, would it need to even say shlomim? Just say, v'zavachta all of us oila sefer, and we would know, in other words, xeris ha'kosev, the whole mizbeach is considered sefer, no matter where it's located in the Azara. And then automatically we realize Shlomim, because we've already established that Shlomim can be shefted anywhere in the Azara. Therefore, necessarily, that means it has to be only part of it is available for Oila. The rest of it is available for Shlomim. V'Rabbi Yosi, so what is Rabbi Yosi? The Idach, Rabbi Yosi, what is the answer to that? He says, it's true. No, but that's not so. You still need the Pasuk to mention Shlomim, and you wouldn't realize that otherwise. Otherwise, you would have thought, you know why the Torah is giving you a break and allowing you to shech the Oila on top of the Mizbeach, even though maybe, as Tosfos says, Midrabanan, you shouldn't, but at least Midrashi, you could, is because, after all, you're crowded for space. You only have the north half of the Azara. We've learned earlier in the Masechta as well that you have a few different opinions what part of the north half of the Azara is kosher for shechting kodshim, with the most limiting one being that you only have exactly north of the Mizbeach, so you have a strip only exactly 32 amas wide by however many amas long you have the distance from the wall of the Mizbeach to the southern wall of the Azara is, according to the different opinions about the position of the Mizbeach. So therefore, you would say, therefore, the Torah gives you a break and allows you to shecht an Ola on the top. You're not crowded for space. You have the entire, and Rashi points out, as far as Dochek Le'mokim, what if you have a lot of oilers? So then maybe take some of them up to the Mizbeach and shech them. But Shlomim, you don't have that. You can shech Shlomim anywhere in the Azara. It's a huge space. So Emelo, you would think maybe you're not allowed to shech them on top of the Mizbeach at all. Kamashulon, and therefore the Pasuk would be saying that you could. So two ways of looking at what it means by Osecha Veshlomecha, but not necessarily are they connected with where the Mizbeach was physically located. By the way, we do usually say that when it comes to a Machloikas, we try to avoid that there should be a Machloikas of the Mitzvahs. There can be an argument about how to understand Psukim, things like that. We usually try to avoid that there should be a Machloikas on the actual facts of how things are on the ground. So here, you're going to have a multi-way machloikas. Where is the Mizbeach placed? Isn't that a machloikas for Mitzvahs? So one point is, the Gemara is going to point out later on in the Perek, first of all, the Mizbeach can be much larger than it ever was physically. The Gemara is going to derive from Sukkim that the Mizbeach could be as much as 60 by 60 amas, and that's the maximum size it could be in still kosher. In practice, we said the Mizbeach was 32 by 32 amas. In the first place, Mikdash, actually, the Mishnah in Midas tells us it was even smaller. So therefore, so you have plenty of room to play with areas that could potentially be part of the Mizbeach. So the Machloikas would be which one did they actually follow. That's not considered such a Machloikas Mimitzios, because by halacha, any of them would be kosher. You also have later on in the parak, it discusses that maybe even the entire floor of the Azara, to a certain extent, can have the Kedusha of the Mizbeach. There's a Pasuk in Malachim, we're going to analyze it in the Gemara in the next couple of days, Be'ez Hashem, where it says that Shlomo HaMelech made holy the floor of the Azara. Actually, it's tomorrow, it's on Daf Nun Tes. Shlomo HaMelech made holy the floor of the Azara because the Mizbeach was too small to fit all the Korbanos. We're going to have Machalokas in the Gemara. We'll learn tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, what that means. Does it mean the Mizbeach was physically too small to fit all the Korbanos they were doing for
for the Chanukah Sabayis, and therefore of necessity they had to burn some of them on the floor, or does it mean something else? We're going to discuss that. But the point is, in other words, there is room to play around with now that they're not the Rambam and Hilchos Beis HaBechira says the Mizbeh, the place of the Mizbeach is very exact and you can't change it, but nevertheless, it seems from all of this there is at least a little wiggle room. Something Mara says Gufa. Getting back to what we said before, Amar Rav Asi, Amar Rav Yechanan, Moidi Rav Yosi, Rav Yehuda, Shem Shachtim Kinegan Makarka Psalis. Rav Yosi, Rav Yehuda agrees that if you shechted it Kinegdan opposite the Mizbeach, which on the face of it, as we're going to say, means under the Mizbeach, Makarka on the floor, Psalis, then it is possible. So Amar Rav Achami Difti, Rav Yehuda, my Kinegdan Makarka. What do we mean by that exactly? Now, the most obvious answer would be, say that it means, in other words, that it means east or west of the Mizbeach. But if that's the case, Rashi points out, it can't be, because before Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda had used this as a question on Rabbi Yochanan. That we said, Rabbi Yochanan was understanding that the crux of the machloikas in our Mishnah was the position of the Mizbeach, and Rabbi Zera said that doesn't fit with the statement of that Shacht and Kenegda Makarka Psulas. If he means Kenegda, he just means east or west of the Mizbeach, then there's no contradiction there. You could very well say Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda says part of the Mizbeach and is in the Tzofen, and still he would hold because he's the opinion who holds that Tzofen is only exactly north of the Mizbeach and not east or west of it. So what do we mean by connect and makarka? Ilema ama yisoid ama soidiv. Do you mean if he shechts the korban on the ama of the yisoid or the ama of the soidiv, as we learned in the previous parak, the mizbeach narrows as it goes upward. You have the yisoid, then you have the next part of the mizbeach above that is one ama narrower on each side. Instead of 32 by 32, it's 30 by 30, and that creates a ledge, which is the yisoid that we discussed over and over in the previous parak. Then it goes up a few amas and reaches the soidiv, the ledge that the kohenim walk around when they're doing the blood of the chatas. We're going to talk about it in this parak also. That was also where they would do the Malika of an Olas HaOif would be standing on that ledge, and then it narrows still further, and the top part of the Mizbeach is 28 by 28 Amos. So do you mean that he does Kinegdo, he puts the korban on the Amos Yisod, or on the Amos Soidim, and shafts it over there? So, and you're saying Rabbi Yosef Yehuda would say that that's possible. Why? Says Rabbi Achami Difti. Hi, Gufri de Mizbeach. This is an actual part of the Mizbeach. What could possibly be the problem of shafting it over there? As long as you're in the north, then you should be good. And also, if it was on the Amma Yisod or the Amma Sodor, how can you call it opposite and in the Karka? They're not on the Karka, they're on the Mizbeach itself. So you're going to give another answer that Kinegdan Bakalka means that there are holes and tunnels in the ground underneath the Mizbeach, and you shecht in there, and Rabbi Yosef Yehuda is saying that the korban is possible then. We have a Mizbeach. The question is, if you do that, then the Mizbeach itself is not a Mizbeach. Because now Rabbi Yochanan is not saying a case where all the korbanos are possible. He's saying where this particular korban is possible. Which means, in other words, we can't be talking about, we're going to learn tomorrow, for example, that if the Mizbeach was damaged, then you can't shecht any more korbanos until it's fixed. But here, we're obviously not talking about where the Mizbeach is damaged, otherwise all the korbanos are possible, not just this one. So, and if the Mizbeach is not directly attached to the ground, if there are tunnels underneath it, then it's going to be possible. Well, Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, when the Pasuk says, Mizbeach Adama Tassali, you should make for me a Mizbeach of earth, this is actually the first leaf of the Pasuk that we quoted before, Mizbeach, all of us are Mizbeach, Beth Shomecha. So when it says, make me a Mizbeach of earth, what does that mean? The Mizbeach is built out of stones and a binder that holds it all together, like we learned in the previous Terech. It means, means Mizbeach has to be completely attached to the ground. You can't build the Mizbeach on top of tunnels or on top of vaults or arches. Now we find actually the most of the Harabayas, the rest of the Harabayas and the rest of the Azara actually was built with archways underneath it. Nowadays they've done ground penetrating radar. They've been able to see some of those still remaining over there under the Harabayas. The reason is in order to block Tuma from coming up in case there's Kever HaTahoyim, in case there's a grave from thousands of years ago under there and the Tuma would go upward, then there you have a double row of arches, one on top of the other, and that prevents, that blocks the Tuma and and confines it underground.
But as opposed to Mechilas?
So Mechilas and Mechilas and keep. So
Mechilas doesn't work.
Mechilas would work, but the Mechilas would work because as long as you have an oil,
so need keeping.
As long as you have an oil tefach, then you're
right.
Fine.
Why do you need keeping?
But because kippin just means archways, because they built it that way, so it'll be solid and it won't collapse. So
a pillar
could collapse. But also, no, the point is also you have to have kippin al gabe kippin. What they actually had is a double row of arches, a vault, and the legs of the top, level were offset relative to the legs of the bottom ones. Because let's consider, if you have only one layer of vaults like that, so now you have. So if the tumah is any place underneath the vault, then you're good. It gets confined within the vault because it's an oil tefah. What happens if it happens to be directly under the leg where one vault meets the next? Then you still have a problem. It's a solid piece over there, and then tumah becasts the oil. The tumah is going to go straight up through. So they built a second layer of vaults over
but
the
not
vault,
the same.
But offset. So that offset. So that's so kippa al gabi regal, but regal al gabi kippa. So that where the legs of one are underneath the vault of the next one, and vice versa.
So that was what they did for tumah.
So that way they did that in order to prevent tumah. So in case there's any unknown tumah way underground, then the azara and the people in it with the harabai. And the Azara and the people, and it wouldn't become Tomei. But the Mizbeach was saying you can't do that. It has to be on solid ground. Incidentally, by the way, there's places it mentions, there's the Yerushalmi that mentions, I think, and the Midrashim that say that there were a couple of times in history when it mentions they found Gugolte Shal Aravna Yevusi. They found the skull of Aravna Yevusi, the famous Aravna who still first sold the place of the Bis Mikdash to David, the Gurna and Aravna Yevusi. So there were various times when they found his skull under the Mizbeach, and that was there were various times when it describes in the Pesukim when they had to clean out the Bis Mikdash from Avodah Zarah and Tumah, and a few times it mentions that they found that there. Hayitochen was saying over here the Mizbeach is under solid ground, and how does Aravna Yevusi's skull come there anyway? One interesting idea, Mephoshim say, is that Aravna had been living there for many years. He had a family burial plot over there. Now, of course, they had a wall preventing that none of that should end up underneath the Beis HaMikdash. But sometimes, especially in the times of the Malcha, of the kings who were Rishoyim, then those walls would not be repaired or would be deliberately broken down, and then bones could roll around, and so sometimes he ended up with a Gogolte Shal Aravna Yevusi under him. Anyway. So the point is that we can't be so the Mizbeach has to be on solid ground, so there's no way that you can have a tunnel under the Mizbeach and that the Mizbeach itself wouldn't be possible. So what does he mean by Kinegd and Bakarka Psolos? So the Gemara answers, Loitzricha de Batsri Batsuri. Rabbi Yosef Yehuda means to say, when Rabbi Yehuda is explaining Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, to mean if he shortened the Mizbeach. So he was saying, for example, the Mizbeach was 32 by 32. But let's say they decided now we only need a smaller Mizbeach. So they rebuilt the Mizbeach smaller. So now let's say the area that they took off from the Mizbeach was along the northern side of it. So now you have an area which used to be part of the Mizbeach, and now is not anymore. It's now part of the floor. Nevertheless, because Rabbi Yosef of Yehuda holds, so now we can see Rabbi Yosef of Yehuda says that it's possible. Why? Because he holds, as we said before, kol Mizbeach, the Dor and Koi, that the entire Mizbeach is in the southern half of the Azara. So therefore, any area that used to be Mizbeach on the northern wall of it, and now isn't anymore, now is part of the floor, of necessity is going to be the southern half of the Azara, and therefore it's going to be possible to shecht korbanos over there. Rabbi Yaakov Emden points out, first of all, that it has to be, that we're going to learn later on in the Perek, the Mizbeach has to be square. So therefore, if we're saying that they removed some of the structure of the Mizbeach on the north side, it would mean necessarily they would also have to do on the east or the west side to compensate so that it remains square. They also discuss how exactly you could do that. You're not allowed to tear down the Mizbeach. And of course, a Baal Batish answer is that they needed to fix it for some other reason. And while they were at it, they decided to make it smaller. So now, Ravua Tia Mizbeach, as the Gemara is going to explain further on in the parak, there are certain features in the Mizbeach that are active, and certain that are not. Yeah. So the Sfasemis points out that in that case, I mean, so then what's the Chiddush? Of course, if Rabbi Yosef of Yehuda holds that the Mizbeach is entirely in the 32 Amos of the Mizbeach is entirely in the southern half of the Azara, and now you have the Mizbeach, let's say, they go back to the size of the first Beis Mikdash, 28 Amos, which means that now you have 4 Amos that used to be a space of the Mizbeach, and now is on the floor. Of course, it's in the southern half of the Azara, so it's possible for Kodesh Kodeshim. What's the Chiddush then? So he explains, fine, Rabbi Yochanan still has to say that is precisely that we shouldn't think that in our Mishnah, Rabbi Yosef ben Yehuda holds that the Mizbeach is half in north and half in south, as we originally thought, but rather that Rabbi Yosef ben Yehuda is the opinion that says the entire Mizbeach is in the south. And therefore, the fact that he says that in our Mishnah, if you shecht in the northern half, it's pasher, has to be because of Xeris HaKosov, like we said before, from the Drosha of the Pasuk HaZeh L'Sefa Ves Shomecha. So that's exactly what Rabbi Yochanan wants to point out, and therefore that's why he says Rabbi Yosef of Yehuda would agree that in that case, nevertheless, that area, even though it was part of the Mizbeach, is not part of the Mizbeach anymore. Now it's part of the floor, and therefore it goes back to the din of the regular floor, and therefore if you shecht there, it's going to be possible. So the Gemara says, Omer of Zera. So now after all this, it comes out then like this. When Rabbi Yochanan began the Sugya by saying that Rabbi Yossi said the entire Mizbeach is in the north, it's not based on Rabbi Yochanan deriving it from our Mishnah. This is something separate that he learned from his Rabbeim, and ultimately the Machlokas in our Mishnah is based on a drasha from a pasuk what the top of the Mizbeach is meant for. So Amar Rav Zeira, Efshe Issa v'Hod Rav Yochanan, how could it be that Rav Yochanan said something like that, that Rav Yossi holds the entire Mizbeach was in the northern half of the Azara, v'leteneinu lo b'masnisin, and we don't have anything in the Mishnah that should give a hint for that. Where did Rav Yochanan get that from? Even if you're going to say Rav Yochanan learned it from his Rebbeim, we should have some kind of hint to it in the Mishnah. Nofak, so he went out of this medrash, Doc, he started checking into it, but Ashkach, and sure enough, he found something. Many times you have the expression in Shas, Nofak, that somebody would go out, the reason would be because many times they would have to also resort to brises. Now, not all brises that were taught were necessarily ever brought into the base medrash. Sometimes the Gemara will even say, like a certain brise is mistaken, or there was whatever, the wording of it is mistaken, don't even bother bringing it into the base medrash. We don't know where it comes from, we don't know whether it's reliable. So sometimes they would have to literally go out and start asking among the Talmidim, do any of you know Mishnayos or brises on this subject? And then he'll find. So, he found as follows. Ditznan, we learn in a Mishnah in Masech HaTomid. So the Mishnah is describing over there how they would set up the Ma'arochos on the Mizbeach. Every day you had, there's different opinions in Masech HaYuma, but the minimum opinion is that there were two piles of wood on the Mizbeach, with fires burning on them. The Ma'arocha Gdola, we say every day in Davening, and by Ad Masada, Ma'arocha Gdola and Ma'arocha Shnia Shoktonus. Ma'arocha Gdola is, Kishmoy Kenu, it's the big one, that they would burn the pieces of the Korbanos on, as well as the koimets of the Mincha and so forth. And then you had Ma'arocha Shnia Shoktonus, which was, they would use specifically, they would burn wood over there to make coals that then they would take a shovel full of those coals and bring them into the Mizbeach HaZahav to burn the Ketores. Rashi brings from a Gemara in Yuma that we learned from a Pasuk that you have to take fire from the Mizbeach HaChitzon to burn the Ketores on the Mizbeach HaPnimi. So the Mishnah describes how they would set that up. After they set up the Ma'arocha Gdola, the Mishnah says, Biru Misham Asitainu Yochim, they would select from there, meaning from the Lishkas Dira Eitzim, you have the four chambers that are on the four corners of the Ezra Sinashim. One of them was the Lishkas Dira Eitzim, where they would keep the wood supply for the Mishmikdash. So they would select from there nice looking pieces of fig wood. Why Dr. Fig? So first of all, the Mishnah mentions over there that in principle any kind of wood is kosher for the Mizbeach, but there were certain species that they would use because they burn better. One of them was figs. The Gemara explains over there. Now the Gemara elsewhere tells us you're not allowed to cut down fruit trees. So this would be from fig trees that are not bearing fruit anyway, or that are bearing inferior fruit or whatever. So they would use, the, among the types of wood then that they would use for the Mizbeach was fig wood. Actually, the Gemara says over there are two types that you can't. You can't use olive wood, and you can't use wood from grapevines, for reasons that the Gemara explains over there. We'll get to it next to you in Talmud Bez Hashem. In any case, though, the Mishnah mentions over there they would use wood from walnut trees and from afarsimon trees, but here it mentions specifically fig that they would use for the second Ma'arocha. Rashi brings so Rashi says just that was what they would use to, that was what they were used to using, and he brings from an agadta reason because. We find that Adam and Chava, after they ate from the Eitz Hadas, Vayasalem Chagurdis, they took fig leaves made for themselves clothing, temporary clothing. So therefore, in a similar vein, in later generations, in this method, we use fig wood for the Ma'arocha Shnia Shoktoras. In fact, the Tiferes Yisrael points out even more so. The Gemara says we're going to learn later. That it talks about later in the Masechta that the Ketores is mechaper for Lashon Hara. How did the Eitz Hadas begin? With Lashon Hara, with the snake saying Lashon Hara about the Eibishter. So therefore, very appropriately, they use Atzeteina for the purpose. So they birim from Atzeteina Yofrim. They would pick from their nice pieces of figwood Lasada Maroch Hashniya Shoktores to set up this Maroch Hashniya, the second wood pile for the Ketores. Keneged Keren Marovis Dreimis. Now, where would they set it up? Near the southwestern corner of the Mizbeach, but not exactly at the corner. Moshuch Menach Keren Klapet Sofen Arba Amos. It would be four Amos distant towards the north. So it would be almost by the southwest corner, but four Amos in, which are now the Gemara is going to discuss how that's going to fit with the various opinions about the positioning of the Mizbeach. How much wood would they put there? But Oymed Chomesh Si'in Gecholim. They would put there enough wood to produce about five sa'ah of coals. Now, ultimately, Rashi says they only needed one sa'ah of coals. They would take a silver pan and scoop up one sa'ah of coals and then pour it into another pan which holds three kabim. There's four kabim to a sa'ah, so one kab would spill on the ground. That way, it's nice and heaping full, and then they would carry it into the Mizbeach HaZahav for the Ketores. But so you only needed one saw of coals, but Rashi points out that they figured out that in order to be able to get one saw of good coals, they need five saw total. Some of the rest of it is going to become ashes, and you need to dig around in there. So therefore, in order to be sure that they'll get one saw of good coals, they needed five. Over Shabbos, when they set up this Maroch HaShniya on Shabbos, Va'omid Shmoinasi in Gehalim, then instead they would put enough wood that would make approximately eight saw of coals. Why? Because they would burn the two spoonfuls or bowlfuls of levoina, of frankincense, that were placed on the mizbeach and that were placed on the shulchan every week, together with the lachem. When they set up the new lachem upon him on the shulchan, they would put it with it. But nasata malarachas levoina zaka, as we say on Shabbos, they would put the two spoonfuls of levoina zaka. The next Shabbos, they would offer that on the mizbeach, and then they would distribute the lachem upon him among the kohenim. So they needed more. So they needed more fire and more wood and more coals over there to be able to burn that those shnei bezichin as well. And therefore on Shabbos they had more saw. So now, Zera says from this Mishnah we have a hint to once we analyze this Mishnah so we're going to focus on this point about the Maroch HaShniya being four amos away from the corner. So, my simona. So, what is the simon? Why do they decide that it needs to be dafka four amas away from the edge? So, Rav Zera explains, Rav Yossi. Because evidently, this Mishnah follows the opinion of Rav Yossi. The Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, Rav Yossi Omer, ze simon. Rav Yossi says the simon is going to be as follows. Whenever you have something that's taken from inside, from the heichel, to be brought out, to be brought and to be offered outside, it has to be placed on the closest place of the Mizbeach HaChitzen, where there's no closer place. And anything that is taken the other way around, that's taken from outside the heichel and brought into the heichel, it has to be taken from the closest possible place to the mizbeach. So first let's analyze what Rabbi Yossi's rule means, and then we're going to understand that he's referring, that one part of his rule is referring to this Maroch HaShniya Shok Torah, and then we're going to establish why it is that it had to be placed where it is in order for it to be as close as possible to the heichel, and eventually once we go through that, then we're going to see how necessarily Rav Yossi has to hold, therefore, that the Mizbeach was entirely in the Tzofen in order for that blueprint of the Mishnah and Talmud to work. So first, let's figure out what Rav Yossi means with his rule. Tosfos, by the way, has a discussion over here. In the course of this discussion, we're also going to talk about that the coals for Yom Kippur as well. So on Yom Kippur, they would set up an extra Maroch on the Mizbeach, and the Kohen would take coals from that to bring into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So on the face of it, that also has to be from directly in front of the door, and Tosfos discusses why that is. And in general, like this, the Gemara is going to be saying over here that Lifnei Hashem, when it says Lifnei Hashem, means that
how did the Ketores work? They burnt it on the Mizbeach HaChitzen?
No, on the Mizbeach HaZahav. They brought it on the Mizrach HaZor.
So what? They only brought the fire from the Mizrach?
They brought fire from the Mizrach HaChitzin, exactly. So the Mishnah in Talmud...
What coals they brought?
So here, the Mishnah in Talmud describes it as follows. With every day is Ketoros, you would have two Koyanim come into the Heichel. One of them is holding a pan full of coals. So again, he would scoop up coals from the Ma'aroch HaShniyah, pour it into another pan, so it's nice and heaping, and carry it in. And the other one would carry in the Ketoros. Then,
what but the Ketoros was not burnt yet.
The Ketoros was not burnt yet. No, it's a mixture of finely ground mixture of spices.
Of spices.
Then they place those coals on. They place those coals and smooth them out on the Mizrach HaPnimi. Yeah. Then the other Kohen goes. Then the other Kohen goes and sprinkles the Ketoros onto it
on
the hot coals, and it starts burning and emitting smoke.
And emitting smoke.
Yeah. So and then later on you have this dish and mizrach later the next morning this dish and mizrach and do the same thing in the evening and then in between this dish and mizrach hafnimi which is clearing off the coal the remaining coals and ashes.
But they sprinkled the ketoros on the coals that was brought from the mizrach hachitzin.
The coals were brought from the mizrach hachitzin, right? The Mishnah describes over there in Talmud what he would do is he would be holding it in his cupped hands and he would sort of like sift it out onto the coals. So they would tell him, by the way, they would tell him, be careful, start from the far end, because otherwise you're going to be reaching over the hot coals that are burning and you're going to burn your hands. But yeah, so that was how it was done every day. The Ketoros of Yom Kippur was similar, except for the fact that the Kohen Gadol had to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim by himself. So he had to bring in both the Kaf and the Machta.
In his mouth.
So first to carry them from the mizbeach hachitzen, he would carry the pan full of coals in his right hand. And the Gemara mentions over there it had an extra long handle, so he could tuck it under his underarm to carry it because it was heavy and hot. Then he'd hold a spoonful of ketoros in his left hand. This was one of the only avodas that you could do with your left hand. Then when he comes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he puts the pan down on the ground, the pan with the coals. Then he has to get the ketoros from the spoon back into his hands. And yeah, that was avodas kashrus to the mikdash. It was one of the harder avodas in the mikdash. One way, he could put it in his mouth and bend downward. He could flip it over in the air. He could flip it between. He could rotate it between his knees, whatever the case. Somehow he had to get all the ketoros back into his cupped hands without spilling a drop. And then the same thing, he would sprinkle it from his cupped hands onto the coals. It makes a big plume of smoke, and then the shachem of the yotzeh, and then he bows and leaves the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So here in our sugya, we're going to be talking about that when it says lifnei Hashem means the part of the mizbeach, which is directly in front of the heichel. And Tosfos discusses why that is. Sometimes Lifnei Hashem means in the entire Azara. Why here in the Sugya are we assuming that Lifnei Hashem means Davka on the west side of the Mizbeach? So Tosfos discusses reasons for it, that sometimes Lifnei Hashem just means as opposed to outside the Azara. But over here, for example, the Torah already tells us that he has to take Me'al HaMizbeach. And you have to take the coals for the Mizbeach HaZahav and also the fire for the Mizbeach, also the fire for the Menorah if the Ner Ma'arovi went out and so forth. You have to take them from the Mizbeach HaChitzen and they're already in the Heichel. There's no reason to say Lifnei Hashem except that it must mean as close to the Heichel as possible. Okay, so let's figure out again. Rabbi Yossi had said anything that's taken from inside to outside has to be placed on the closest possible place on the outside, and anything that's taken from the outside to the inside has to come from the closest place. So let's figure out. My nihu, kol anito b'fnim nosim b'chutz. Anything that's taken from inside to bring outside. My nihu. What does Rabbi Yossi mean by that? Ilei Meshirayim, does he mean the Shirayim of the blood of Chatoris HaPnimius? Whereas we learned in the previous parak, he sprinkles the blood of, in the case of the Korbanos of Yom Kippur, the Par Helam Dovashal Tzibur, the Par Kohen Mashiach, etc. There are various sprinklings of blood that he does in the Heichel, and then he brings out the Shirayim and pours them on the side. Well, Rabbi Yossi doesn't have to tell us that. Behediyuk Sibahu al Yisod Mizbech HaOla Shepesach HaYomayid. The Torah clearly says that he should pour it on the Yisod of Mizbech HaOla, which is in front of the door of the HaYomayid. And therefore that means that it has to be the side which is in front of the Heichel. We learned about this in the previous parak. We had we said the Mishnah had said there Shira Adama Yishrefecha Yisod Ma'aravi, and we had said actually there was a three way machlokas where there was a machlokas about that, whether it is indeed on Yisod Ma'aravi or maybe on Yisod Jeroimi, which also came into this question of where exactly the Mizbeach is located relative to the Heichel. Anyway, so Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda would not have to give us a rule for something that it says quite clearly in the pasuk. So and let's so the first half of his rule cannot refer to shirayim. The two kolam nitzel b'chutzli nosim b'fnim ma'iniyu. And what does he mean with the second half of his rule? Anything that's brought from outside to bring to inside. What does he mean by that? Ilem gecholim shal yom kippurim. Does he mean the coals that the kohen gadol would take on yom kippur to burn the ketores inside the kodesh hakodashim? Again, the head yipsibu who v'lokach molei machta gach la'ish. Remember, he should take a panful of coals of fire. And again, the pasuk continues me'alam mizbeach midlifnei Hashem. So it's clear that it has to be on the side of the Mizbeach that is as close as possible to the Heichel. again, here's where Tosfos asks the question, why Lifnei Hashem specifically has to mean that side of the Mizbeach, but in any case, that is what it means. So therefore, so both of those things, it says clearly in the passage, so Rabbi Yossi doesn't have to give us a rule for that. Ella, no, rather what Rabbi Yossi means, when he says anything that's taken from inside to put outside, what he means is Shnei Bazichel Levoina, Shalacham Aponim. He means those two bowlfuls of Levoina that go with the Lechem Aponim that we just talked about before, that are burnt on the Mizbeach after when the old Lechem Aponim is taken off the Shulchan, so that has to be placed on the Mizbeach HaChitzen. So Rabbi Yossi wants you to know, Digamni Mishirayim. You should know, where on the Mizbeach should you burn them? You learn from the Shirayim. Just like the Shirayim, we said, have to be on the Por of the Mizbeach, which is as close as possible to the Heichel, because it says, so the same way, these bazikha levoina also have to be burnt on the poor of the mizbeach, which is as close as possible to the door. So that explains why this ma'arocha shniyah, that explains why this ma'arocha shniyah, where they would burn the bazikhin, has to be on the western side of the mizbeach. Because that's obvious, close as possible to the door. And when he says, we learn it from the Shirayim, then when he says the second part of his rule, anything that's taken from outside to bring to inside has to be from as close as possible, what is he referring to? Not the coals of Yom Kippur, because we said it says in the Pasuk clearly, but rather the coals that you use every day for the Mizbeach Hazal. And again, the reason is the Gamran with the Cholim Shayim HaKippurim, because we derive, says Rabbi Yossi, once the Torah tells us that the coals for Yom Kippur have to be Lifnei Hashem, which is as close as possible to the Heichel, then the ones for every day's Torah source has to be from the same place. So that is how we learn that the second Ma'arocha, from which, again, they take coals to burn the Ketores, and they also use it to burn the Bazichin from the Lechem Aponim, that has to be on the western side of the Mizbeach, as close as possible to the door. So now, continues Reb Zera, let's analyze that and figure out, again, we're still trying to figure out how Reb Yochanan knows that Reb Yossi holds the entire Mizbeach is in the northern half of the Azara. So he says as follows. Let's go by process of elimination. Umay kasover. Now what would Reb Yossi hold? E kasover kulam mizbeach bedorim koi. If he holds the whole mizbeach is in the southern half of the Azara, then if you want the ma'arocha shniyah to be on the part of the mizbeach, which is as close as possible to the door, directly in front of the door, eshim v'sheva bari l'meisiv, then it should be 27 amos away from the southern end of the mizbeach. Here we said it was 4 amos away from the southern side of the mizbeach. But if the entire mizbeach itself is in the southern half of the azara, then it comes out that what part of the mizbeach is going to be in front of the door? Only the extreme northern edge of it. So you're going to have that Ma'arocha Hashniyah should be 27 amos from the south end, which is 5 amos from the northern end. You have the Yisoid, and then you have the counter of Mizbeach, you have the walkway of the Kohenim, and then one more Amma, and it should be placed there, and then it'll be directly in front of the door. Because the door of the Heichel is 10 amos wide. So if the door of the Heichel is exactly 10 amos wide, and the Heichel itself is exactly centered on the north-south line, so that means 5 amos of the doorway are in the southern half and 5 in the northern half. If Reb Yossi held that the Mizbeach is all in the south half of the Azara, then he shouldn't be saying that the Ma'arocha Shniyah...
So it's not centrally in front of the door.
That's the thing. The three opinions are the Mizbeach is entirely in the northern half of the Azara, entirely in the southern half, or exactly centered in the middle of the Azara. So now, Reb Zera...
As far as the door, I'm saying.
Right. No, the door itself was exactly centered.
Oh, okay.
The door itself was... The Heichel itself was 100 amos, wide. Yeah. The door of the Heichel was 10 amos within that, and it was exactly centered between north and south. Yeah. So now Rabbi Zeira is going to go back. Process of elimination. Based once we establish that Mishnah was appointed of Yossi, because he's the one who gives this rule that when you're taking coals for the Mizbeach HaZahav and when you're taking out the Bezichim, it has to be on a place which is going to be as close as possible to the door. So let's see, by process of elimination, where does he hold the Mizbeach? If he held it entirely in the south half of the Azara, then the proper place for this Ma'aracha would be 27 Amos from the south, which is to say five Amos from the north. Because that's the only place that you can have that would be that's the only place. If you put it any further out, it would be already off the top of the Mizbeach, and it would be in the way of the walkway of the Kohenim around the Mizbeach, whatever. So you'd have to place it there. And if you placed it any further south than that, then it's not directly in front of the door. Fine. The Inami Kasava Kedushas Hecha Ulam Chodihi. Even if Rabbi Yossi were to hold that the Kedusha of the Ulam of the entryway of the Hechel and the Hechel itself is the same thing, and the Gemara had discusses that in a number of places in Chas. We already had that earlier in the Masechta. The Gemara had brought up that possibility. That maybe conceivably, for example, the Shulchan, even though the Shulchan is supposed to be placed in the Hechel, maybe conceivably it could be placed in the Ulam and it would still be a kosher place for it. So the Gemara discusses this in a number of places in Shas, but even if we were to say that, now the door of the Ulam is wider than the door of the Hechel. Instead of 10 wide like the Hechel, it was 20 wide. It's also centered exactly in the middle of the Azara, so therefore you have, so 10 Amos of its width are in the north and 10 Amos in the south. Fine, even if you were going to say that the Ulam has the same Dusha, and therefore that gives you a little more leeway, fine. Eshim v'tauti bo yimeisei. Still, you would have to have the location of the Ma'aroch HaShniyah would have to be 22 amos away from the southern end, because that's the maximum you could do and still have it in front of the door of the Olam. So necessarily, therefore, says Rabbi Zeira, Rabbi Yossi clearly cannot hold that the entire Mizbeach is in the south. So now let's try the next possibility.
Historically, I understand how there could be a machlekes. This was all written inside in the Mishneh Midas and all this stuff.
Mishneh and Midas was actually written after the Korban. You think of it, when
they knew exactly what it was.
Right. The Gemara explains in Yuma that the Mishnayos and Midas are according to the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. We have two times in Midas where it says about a certain place. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, Shachati ma'usam shameshes. I forgot what a certain room was used for, and the Gemara uses that to prove that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is a Tana of Midas. In other words, what happened was Poshet.
When was he?
In the generation right after the Korban, but still, he lived through the Korban, but still, he himself says, for example, he said,
nobody that remembered what he was afraid.
They remembered, but he has his opinion, and he reported in the Mishneh and Midas, but we have to know there were other opinions. Again, like we discussed before, it's not necessarily Machlokas from Metzius, because it might be kosher in any of those places. The Mizbeach would be far larger than it actually was, and it would still be kosher. So you have this machloikas of how the Mizbeach was actually placed, right? So the Mishnah is Midas.
Totally out of context. Yeah. The Gemara in Psochim, yeah? Where you put the Chalas, yeah?
Yeah.
Where you put the Chalas,
yeah?
They didn't, they'll know, they'll figure out either way, and they put it into...
You're talking about the chalas that they put there as a signal to know when to eat chametz and when to burn it?
No. Where to put the Chalas... For the Korban
Pesach. Oh, the Chalas. The main of me saying, Yeah.
I don't understand. How many years before was it Shabbos?
That's a side thing, and really, I want to finish the gap here. It is a side thing, but just real quick, you should know, Bechlal, the Yerushalmi asked a better question. How do you forget whether you bring the Korban Pesach on Erev Shabbos anyhow? It's impossible. 20 years don't pass without it happening.
Right.
So the Gemara says over there that the Eibishter made it happen, litin gedula lehilul. The Eibishter decided it's time for Hillel to become
the Eibishter made the Eibishter forget.
And the Eibishter forget. So that's one way. As far as the Chalafim, and the Gemara says over there that Hillel became angry, so he forgot, so this also
Maybe
I don't know. Whatever the case. The point is, you have this multi-way machlokas about where the Mizbeach was placed. So now, clearly again, Rabbi Yossi cannot hold, once we establish that the Mishnah from Talmud is according to Rabbi Yossi, Tosfos points out, actually, there might be another detail in the Mishnayos over there that is not according to Rabbi Yossi, but basically everything of it Reb Zeira had established is according to Rabbi Yossi. So now, he clearly can't hold the entire Mizbeach as in the southern half, again, because then the positioning of this Ma'aroch HaShniyah would be all wrong according to his Shitta. The Ikasav HaChetzi B'Tzof and the Chetzi B'Dorim, if he holds that the Mizbeach is half north, half south, then let's look again where it would be relative to the doorway of the Hechel. Chad Srei Bar L'Mesi, this Ma'aroch HaShniyah should have to be a minimum of 11 Amos from the southern end in order to be directly in front of the door of the Hechel. Because then what you would have is the Mizbeach, 16 Amos of it are in the north, 16 are in the south. Of those 16 that are in the south, five of them are in front of the door of the Heichel, because again, the door of the Heichel is 10 Amos wide, and therefore it would have to be 11 Amos from the edge in order to be exactly in front of the door. The Ela Chasavar, Kedushas Heichel Ve'ulam, Chodam Milsehi, and even if he were to hold that the Kedusha of the Heichel and the Ulam is the same, fine, Shisvar the Meisi, it would have to be 6 Amos in for the same reason. You have an extra 5 Amos to work with. El alav mishum de kasavar. So therefore, Rav Zera concludes his proof. You must say, evidently, that Rav Yossi holds kolam is there with sofen koi. The entire mizbeach is in the northern half of the azara. Vahani arba amos. So why are you saying it has to be 4 amos away from the edge? Because not 4 amos away from the top edge of the mizbeach. It's 4 amos from the bottom edge. Ama yisoid. You have an ama of the width of the yisoid. To be exact, I mean, this is, we're talking about the southern side. The southern side didn't have yisoid, but it had a space where the yisoid would have been, as we learned in the previous parak. And maybe according to somebody showing him it wrapped around part or all of that, so part or most of that side. Anyway, so you have the ama yisoid, the ama soiviv. You have the ama of the ledge of the soiviv, where the mizbeach has inset another ama, the ama mokum kronis. You have another ama that the protrusions on top of the mizbeach take up. The ama mokum ragle akoyanim. You have an ama walkway inside of that, so the kohenim to walk around, because they need to walk around on the top of the mizbeach all the time to do avodah. So they set aside an ama walkway for them. So therefore, and you don't want the smarach hashniyah to be in the way of that. So therefore, so the kimasul. So now necessarily it has to be over there. The kimasul kametvei, and therefore you can't place it any further in to lek a pesach, because since the entire mizbeach, according to this way of looking at it, is in the north, that means, in other words, that you have only 4 amos of it overlap with the door of the Heichel. So that's why. And the 4 amos begins from the Yisod. So that would explain why that missionary is saying that it was placed 4 amos from the edge. So in other words, it was placed right by the edge of the Kohenim's walkway, because that's the closest that they could place it, not to interfere with the Kohenim or with the Kronos or anything like that, and still be in front of the doorway. So therefore, Rav Zeda says, there's our proof. There's Rav Yochanan's proof that Rav Yossi holds the Mizbeach is all in the north. However, Amar Rav Adar Bar Abba, says that's not a solid proof, because Homani Rav Yehuda, the Mishnah in Talmud that we were discussing before, could very well be according to Rav Yehuda. The Tanya, Rav Yehuda Omer Mizbeach Min Mutzah Va'Omer Be'emsa Hazara. Rav Yehuda holds that the Mizbeach was exactly centered north on the north to south line in the middle of the Hazara. U'shloshim u'shtayim amas ha'yuloi. And it was, the Mizbeach was 32 amas in size from north to south, and also from east to west. Esu amas kineged pischa shel heichol. The middle 10 amos of it were exactly in front of the door of the Heichel, because again, the door of the Heichel was 10 amos wide. Achas esri mikan, v'achas esri mikan, and you have 11 amos of the Mizbeach on either side of that, nimtza Mizbeach mechuvan kineged Heichel. So it comes out that Mizbeach, the Heichel of Koislav, it says, and the Shittim HaKubetza says it should be, so it comes out that Mizbeach is exactly in front of the Heichel and its walls. Namely, the door of the Heichel was 10 amos wide. The Heichel itself was 20 amos wide. Then you had the walls north and south of the Heichel were 6 amos wide. 20 plus 6 plus 6 equals 32. So Yehuda says, since the Mizbeach was exactly centered in the middle of the Azara, on the north-south line, it comes out that the edges of the Mizbeach were exactly opposite the outside edges of the walls of the Heichel. So the Mishnah could work according to Rabbi Yehuda. According to Rabbi Yehuda, there's no problem putting the Ma'aroch HaShniyah Shel Kodesh near the southern edge of the Mizbeach, because it'll still be in front of the door. So the Gemara says, why? So say for Rabbi Yehuda, Chad Srei Bar Lameisi. Why? We just said before, according to we made the calculation. If the Mizbeach was exactly in the middle, then according to Rabbi Yehuda, it should have to be 11 amos from the edge in order to be in front of the door of the Heichel, for the reasons that we explained before, because you have 16 amos in the south and only 5 of them overlap with the door, so you need 11 amos away from the edge. The ikasav kedushas heichol ulam chodam milsehi, and if he holds that the heichol and the kedusha have the same, the heichol and the ulam have the same degree of kedusha, shis boilam meisid, and it still should have to be 6 amos away from the edge in order to be in front of the door of the ulam. So where are you getting 4 amos? My answer is still Rav Adar Bar Abba can say mi sabra tani arba amos bahavi ami yisoid ba'amos soiviv. You're thinking that you're counting from the bottom edge of the mizbeach, from the edge of the yisoid, and you're counting an ama of the yisoid, an ama of the soiviv, an ama of the kronos, and an ama for the kohenim's walkway, and then the ma'aroch hashniyah is located right next to that. No, barame ama soiviv yisoid ba'amos soiviv. No, the 4 amos that the Mishnah in Talmud is talking about could be exclusive of the yisoid. Soid and the Soivir, we're talking about only from the top edge of the Mizbeach. Well, then you have an Amma for the Kronos, an Amma for the Kohenim's walkway, then you have another two Ammas, and the Maroch Hashniyah is placed over there. So that would be what we called before six Ammas, but that was six Ammas relative to the edge of the Yesod. And it's four Ammas relative to the top edge of the Mizbeach. So that's why they placed it there, because fine, then it'll be exactly in front it'll be just barely in front of the door of the Ulam, and fine, Rabbi Yehuda can hold it for Ulam and the Heichal have the same degree of Kedusha, and therefore that's a place for it, and there's no need to put it any further away from the southern side. So the Gemara asks, so Rav Adaba Abba and Short is saying, Rav Zera, you're proving from that Mishnah that you're saying that's where Rav Yochanan got that Rav Yossi holds of necessity the Mizbeach is in the north, because otherwise the figure doesn't work. That's assuming the Mishnah is according to Rav Yossi. You could just as well say the Mishnah is according to Rav Yehuda. Well, the question is, well, as long as Rav Adaba Abba is not accepting the proof that Rav Yossi held that it's in the north, if he holds that Rav Yossi could say the Mizbeach is in the center, so why doesn't he agree with Rav Zera? The Mishnah is according to Rav Yossi, because it fits with the simon that Rav Yossi said before, or b'mamutza, and say that Rav Yossi holds that the Mizbeach was in the middle rather than being offset to the north. And the reason is, Mishnah that Rav Yehuda Shemayna le'mamutza behedya, because we have a braisa where Rav Yehuda clearly says that the Mizbeach was in the middle, so Adaba Abba would rather assume that we know already Rabbi Yehuda holds that, and therefore we should assume that he's the one also who said that placement of the Maroch Hashniyah in the Mishnah in Talmud. What about Rabbi Yossi's rule? Fine, Rabbi Yossi is the one who formulated the rule. Doesn't mean he's the only one who holds of it. The other Chachamim, including Rabbi Yehuda, will agree to it as well, that when you're taking something from the Mizbeach to the Heichal, it has to be from the closest part of the Mizbeach, and when you're bringing something from the Heichal to the Mizbeach, Achitzin has to be to the closest part of the Mizbeach. Rabbi Yehuda will agree with that also, and he'll just say, fine, but the closest part of the Mizbeach can just as well be four Amos away from the edge, not counting the Yesod and the Soivim, and that's still directly in front of the door of the Ulam, and that's as close as necessary, and therefore it still satisfies Rabbi Yossi's rule. So then the Gemara is going to continue. We'll continue tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, and talk about another possibility of who that Mishnah in Talmud, about the Ma'arocha being four Amos from the edge, another possibility of another Tanner who it's like, and we're going to continue with this discussion about the positioning of the Mizbeach, and then other dinim involving the structure of the Mizbeach.